December 9th, 2006. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 63.
Previously on Lost.
Okay. Hey, everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, here from the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. Episode 63 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Yes, that is right. 63 episodes of Nowhere in Mulberry. And every single episode has been with my friend here to my left, Steven, the Pop Culture Zealot.
How's it going?
It's going great, Steven. How you doing?
Going good.
You already doing some Christmas shopping? Getting
no.
that all done?
No.
Wait until the last minute, just like me.
Johnny Procrastinator.
Yep.
That's what they call me.
That's what I do. December 23rd, baby. That's when I get started. Or 24th, what, even.
What point did your name become Johnny? I've never heard that before.
Who is this guy talking? Oh, wait. This is Mulberry Bill. How you doing, Bill?
I'm good.
Stocking up on Christmas items to give away to loved ones on the birthday of Christ?
No, because I'm broken, I could give a shit.
Oh, the card. Got it. Send out the cards, homemade cards, yeah. Fold a piece of paper, get out the crayons.
It's the thought that counts.
Yes, it is.
He's making Rorschach Christmas cards.
Nice.
Just pouring some colors down in there, fold it in half.
I like
Rorschach.
That.
Rorschach.
Mr. Cotta! Also, we don't have Vanessa here this week. We're doing the show a tad early, guys. I have plans later in the evening. She is not here. She's at some kind of gymnastics thing with her daughter, so she will not be on the show today.
Sans Vanessa.
Yes.
But if you just insert her laughs, it'll be like she's here. See, she's here.
His purple satin butt pants.
Yeah, that's right, Vanessa. Thank you for joining us, Vanessa.
Roll bounce.
Yes. Now, it is the holiday season. That also means that studios are rolling out big holiday movies left and right. And I'm curious of what's doing well at the box office. I know you think about this frequently, Steven. Like, what's doing good at the box office?
I'm on the road all the time, and I just need to know.
Gee, so. I wonder what number one is. And, Bill, I would like for you to tell us what the top 10 box office is right now.
Well, since we're in the middle of this weekend being Saturday the 9th, we'll cover last weekend, which is December 1st through the 3rd. Unsurprisingly, the number one film at the box office right now is Happy Feet, the George Miller children movie with dancing penguins.
Oh.
Man, that's cold.
And what's crazy, it's been out for, I think, 3 weeks, and it's already grossed $121.5 million.
Wow. And, you know, You say George Miller. This is the guy who created Mad Max, The Road Warrior, Beyond Thunderdome. And then he decided
And my all-time favorite, Babe, Pig in the City. That's
right.
One of my all-time favorite movies.
And then he decided to make kids' movies. So he broke my heart,
that's
what I'm trying to say.
Well, that's where the money's at.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's nothing right now like computer-animated animals talking.
Yes, children. They're easy to create.
It's a pot of gold,
I'm guessing.
And even if it doesn't do well at the box office, DVD sales. They buy that stuff. They love it. So,
that is really funny how you can make any movie, market it to children. There's no doubt you'll make money on it, no matter what.
It's guaranteed. So, I mean, really, the smart thing, like someone like Jon Favreau, he's directing the new Iron Man movie, but he started out with Elf, with Will Ferrell. Kids can see it. It's a family film, guaranteed box office. Then he made
Zathura,
another kids movie. You should start out with kids movies now and work your way up to what you want to do.
It's an instant cred. Because
I don't know.
They look at your gross and then say, "Oh, this guy can make money."
Yeah, he can. It's so ridiculous the way Hollywood's run now, man. It's so stupid. But what I would, if I was directing a movie, Vince DiCola soundtrack. Hell yes, he did
totally.
Transformers the movie. He did Rocky IV. That guy knows how to score a movie. All right, Bill, what else we got at the box office?
Well, number two, we have Casino Royale.
James Bond.
Did either of you get to see that yet?
No, I want to so bad. The new James Bond.
I was going
to
go see it this week, but I just we never got around to it.
Yeah, it's really it's pulling in the money. It's 115.5 mil.
That's great.
Yeah, and it's a good movie. I was really happy with it because they stayed extremely faithful to the novel, even though they had to change things around because, you know, the novel was set in the Cold War era. But it's really good. I enjoyed it. Daniel Craig is top-notch. Now I just hope they do, like, an R-rated Bond. That would be awesome.
I heard the main thing is they took out the original game they played and changed it to poker.
Yeah, it was Baccarat in the book. Yeah, they did make it poker, but they also, you know, changed things here and there.
It didn't really...
But it wasn't Texas Hold'em.
No.
It wasn't a deal-breaker for you, was it?
You know what would have been interesting, though, is if they would have kept the Baccarat, because from what I understand, it's a really cool game to watch. Unlike, well, I guess some people like to watch poker, but I think it's like watching paint dry.
Yeah.
Well, number three is Deja Vu, which has been out for 2 weeks, and it's kind of bombing. It's only brought in about 44 million.
Yeah, that didn't do well at all. It's gotten rotten reviews, and I could tell Tony Scott was at the helm, so I knew it would suck.
The next
Just
film
kidding,
is...
of course. I love Tony Scott.
As yes, I like everyone to call loves him, Tony Scott.
I call him Scooter.
Number four is The Nativity Story, which is really, really bombing. This just shows that
Nativity
you can't
story.
Just throw some biblical film out there and expect money to be made off of it.
Yeah, I've seen reviews of this, or I saw Richard Roper, and he just made basically sound like kind of a cash-in.
Yeah.
You know, where something like The Passion of the Christ, it challenges viewers. This, they didn't want to challenge you at all. They wanted to play it safe and not offend anyone.
Jesus Christ. Yeah,
and I think a lot of things that turn people off of the movie is that the film itself is not biblically sound, and you're going to lose the audience that you're trying to market it to if it isn't biblically sound.
Yeah, but whatever is.
Well, true. I mean, it's all debatable, but
I mean,
again, this was directed by Catherine Hardwicke, that I think the only film I really know her from is that
13
movie, which was really kind of too much for me. I was like watching it going, wow, this is...
it's great. This,
really good stuff.
Number five is Deck the Halls, which is kind of, you know, that's the Danny DeVito, Matthew Broderick film.
It's in the Bible.
It's just getting absolutely... blasted.
Yeah, that movie, just the commercials, it looks horrendous.
It does look bad.
The main thing I look at is Matthew Broderick, why didn't he make this? Is it like he wanted to make a movie that his kids could watch, or he needed some cash, or he has a horrible agent? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, he was doing the producers on Broadway for a long time. I don't know if that pays well.
Yeah,
but,
that's why
you know
I wonder, why does someone make this movie? Why did he need to? Because I can't see him reading the script going, you know what, this looks really good.
Maybe. Yeah, I think it's more of just wanting to get your face out there. Maybe he wants to try and make a resurgence in film now that, you know, his child is growing up and he wants the kid to see him in
what
movies.
What a colossal ripoff!
It's obvious that this thing was thrown out to take advantage of the season.
It's like
and
the year before
Fox
there was the Tim Allen, the Christmas with the Cranks. And it's like,
yeah, and this year there's the Santa Claus 3, which is coming in at number 6. And that, I think it's the last one. I hope it's the last
one.
Closing out the trilogy.
Finally, it is complete.
Yes.
We will have the box set.
Number 7 is Borat, which is still bringing in a lot of money for a movie that probably only cost
$1 million.
Yeah, a couple million at the most to market and make. It's brought in $116 million.
Yeah, that's a huge profit for that movie.
I wonder if Sacha Baron Cohen has like a back end on this thing.
Well, I'm wondering because
he'll never have to work again.
Has the Borat backlash started where people are sick of the character? You think?
Pretty soon, I'm sure, because even whenever I watched his show on HBO, it wasn't the best thing, you know. You can only take so much of
When the film first came out, he was doing the circuit, you know. He was on every show, and he was in character, and I was wondering if people are like, all right, okay.
Well, I mean, the movie's worn on now, so there's no sense in him still doing the character.
Yeah, and he can't do the character anymore, can he? Everyone knows who he is, I would think, by now.
That character is gone.
Number 8 is Turistas, which I think is just a...
yes.
And like an indie, crappy horror film.
What I heard about Turistas is that they're trying to get the audience of fans of Hostel and Saw, where these tourists are kidnapped and then tortured. Where I don't know anyone who's like, I love this torture movie. I'll probably like this torture movie.
You know what it reminded me of when I saw the trailer? Was it the sequel to I Know What You Did Last Summer, where they were in the Bahamas or whatever?
Yeah. Awesome.
And they were all walking around in bikinis and it was raining outside. I was like, wait. Yeah. No, I'm not sure. I know Melissa George is in it, and she looks really hot, but...
They look like they're in bikinis, and it's a hot cast and all that, and it's a horrible flick. And it's directed by the director of Into the Blue, John Stockwell. So we know he knows how to direct movies that suck.
Number 9 is Stranger Than Fiction, which is the Will Ferrell film.
And yeah, right. Yeah, we talked about this on the show. And I've heard it's a great movie where you want to go see it with like a 40-year-old single woman. You probably get into her pants later. Get some sex.
I'm close to 40, so hey, that works out for me.
Mark Forster's the one that directed it. The guy that directed Monsters Ball and Finding
Neverland. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for him. And he didn't use computer animated animals in the flick, so I'm very proud of him. He didn't have to do that.
And lastly, number 10, the completely unneeded National Lampoon's Van Wilder, The Rise of Taj.
Nice. Yes. Awesome.
Get out the TNA crowd there to see that.
What the hell? Why did they make that movie?
I don't know, but you know what? This movie came in at number 10 and only made $2.3 million on this opening weekend.
Why would they
not just release it direct to video? They would probably make a whole lot more money than going full theatrical.
Yeah, I see. That's what they're doing with, like, they've made the American Pies straight to video movies.
The most recent is The Naked Mile.
Every time I go to the theater, I see a freaking documentary on the making of this stupid movie. You know, they do the little video projector of stuff that's coming on TV, and there's, like, straight to video, The Naked Mile, and it looks completely horrendous, but there's a market for it. Idiots buy it, so...
And that really needs to stop. I hate going to the theater to only see commercials for 10 minutes before the movie starts.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Well, thanks, Bill. It looks like we're not really missing much of the theater, except I really want to see Casino Royale.
Yeah, one movie.
Yeah, and this weekend, of course, we have Apocalypto opened, which I haven't been able to see yet, and Blood Diamond, which is supposed to be really good but horribly depressing.
Now, I really want to see Apocalypto because I think Mel Gibson is an incredible director. You know, he may hate a race of people. He may be filled with, you know...
Confusion.
Anti-Semitism.
But he's a talented director.
He really is a true artist, and everything I'm hearing is that this film is like his homage to George Miller.
Right.
Chase style of the Mad Max films.
Right. What I was going to say is that when you watch his films, you feel something. Sometimes some people might feel disgust, maybe. You know, like something like Braveheart, it was very violent, but I enjoyed the type of violence it was. Mm-hmm. Passion of the Christ, it's supposed to repulse you, what's happening on screen, the way they're beating Christ and the torture he's going through. You're supposed to feel something. Now with this, I've heard from people saying it's the best film of the year, and I've heard people saying it's the worst film they've ever seen. I've read that it's the most violent American film ever put on screen. I've heard people say that it's the most brilliant film ever put on screen. So it's definitely right down the middle.
That's always the sign of a good movie. Whenever there isn't a complete agreement of it, you can bet it's good.
And you can tell when people can't leave the politics at the door because they bring up...
And that's what they're bringing in. That's where the hate's coming from of the movie is because of who directed it.
One of my favorite things is Film Threat's review, and they go, he may be a racist anti-Semite, but he knows how to direct the hell out of a movie.
Yeah, there was a review on Ain't It Cool News from Drew McWeeny, the guy that his handle is Moriarty, and it's so blatantly obvious that the guy is holding a grudge. You know, it's just like, he just can't let go any of his issues with Gibson, whether it stems from The Passion or the recent anti-Semitic outburst.
Yeah, and you know what? That's okay if somebody feels that way, but at the same time, acknowledge that as you're writing about it. you know, saying, I couldn't get past this. Perhaps I'm not the best person to tell you whether to see this or not. Something like that. That's the movies right now. Can't wait to see those. And more movies coming up, like 300 and stuff. But
I cannot wait. The new trailer for 300, the longer theatrical trailer, is just awesome.
It looks totally wicked. Now, let's get into a voicemail before we get into entertainment. What do you guys say?
Hi, Jason and Mulberry people. This is Mystery Man, driving to work, to his new job in his old car. Hey, I just listened to this four-year review segment, which you were, like, screaming at that after-the-show mix-up that you did. And I have to say, you kind of ask for this when you submit your show for review to people like this. Do you really seriously think that they're going to get it?
Not necessarily.
Sitting there analyzing it in the framework of something like one of these Alan Goodman, you know, perfect radio voice, perfectly engineered shows, and that's just boring. I'll tell you, I'm just, you know, Joe Average on the street here, but I know what I like, and I like people to behave like regular folks and not have this big over-engineered hypey crap stuff that sounds like it's Bush League FM radio. What you're doing is hugely hysterically funny. Just keep it up. It's good stuff. We're listening. Trust me on that.
Well, thank you very much. I like that. Bush League.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes we just can't help ourselves. I think, I don't know what we expected in submitting it.
I think Jason was just expecting more listeners out of it. You know, that's what he's been, you know, that's all he's wanting. That's all we want.
It was kind of to stir things up, get somebody talking about our show. Maybe someone who'd never heard of it would hear that show and listen to it.
But, hey, and it gave us material. It gave us about 40 minutes for the show.
And the thing was that some of the things I took to heart, but I really thought they were kind of like going a little nuts there. They do a review show. That's okay. And I submitted it. And I expected to get some kind of feedback, good and bad or whatever. We were having fun with it. But I know that I asked for it. Yes, that's right. I did ask for it. I mean, I asked them to review the show, and that's what I got.
And he'll never do it again.
Oh, you never know.
No, I don't know about
that. He'll do it again.
I'll do it again. No, but, hey, thanks, Mystery Man. It was good to hear from you again. What do you guys say we get into entertainment? Let's do it.
I disagree with it.
What do you disagree with exactly? All right,
I think
Bill.
Entertainment in general.
Yeah, I disagree with entertaining people. Now, Bill, we've already been talking about a lot of movies on the show so far, but there's one movie I want to talk about that comes on Christmas. It's a Christmas movie. It's a present to us, and that is Rocky fans, right? Rocky Balboa, Sylvester Stallone's made a new Rocky. This one's called Rocky Balboa. It's not Rocky VI.
We didn't ask for it, but we'll take it.
It's a story about never giving up hope, never giving up what you can achieve, no matter how old you are and what you've been through in life.
Not settling for the crumbs of life.
Right. And Rocky was always about the underdog. That's why everyone loved it. Then there was Rocky II, Rocky III, Rocky IV. They just couldn't stop, right?
Once that train started rolling, it was hard to slow down.
Right, and Sylvester Stallone, he...
How come they didn't put that effort into, to Rambo? You
know? I don't know.
I mean, they stopped at 3.
Rambo 3 was just a disaster. It was awesome. But I'm excited about Rocky. Let's go ahead and check out the trailer. It looks pretty cool.
I've got chills already.
Who was the best of all time? If two athletes from different eras could actually compete against one another, who would come out on top? In one corner, the reigning champion at Mason the Line Dixon. He'll be pitted against the former two-time heavyweight champion, Rocky Balboa. Computer says Rocky Balboa would be triumphant.
I think there's still some stuff in the basement.
What basement?
In here. I think I want to, like, fight. You know, nothing big, just small things like local.
What? You haven't peaked yet?
You know, we have the promotional contract for Mason Dixon. When he heard you were interested in fighting again, he thought, why not put something together? First-class exhibition.
But I ain't interested in getting, like, mangled and embarrassed.
You know, let's face it, that computer fight got a lot of people curious.
And it doesn't matter how this looks to other people. Fighters fight.
To beat this guy, you need speed. You don't have it. And you've got calcium deposits on most of your joints, so sparring is out.
I had that problem.
So what we'll be calling on is blunt force trauma. Let's start building some hurting bombs.
The greatest underdog story of our time is back for one final round.
Oh, yeah.
Balboa.
It's over.
You can tell it's over till it's over.
Where's that from? The 80s?
That's probably in the 70s.
Nice. And I love, of course, you gotta love the Rocky music, right?
Yeah, that Bill Conti score is just, it like gives you chills when you listen to it, especially if you love those movies, like I do, especially.
And it doesn't matter if they follow an exact formula. Like, cue the music here, this is where he's getting ready for the fight. This cue the music when he wins the fight. It doesn't matter. It works every time.
Yeah,
I think.
It does. There's, I remember it in the theater.
Yeah, that's,
certain things you would call out as like cliched, but it's Rocky.
Yeah,
you know?
That was a problem. Like Bill and I were talking about Rocky IV. He didn't have Bill Conti. He had Vince DiCola of Transformers the movie fame, and there was none of those music cues, and I really think it suffered for it.
Yeah, and it was that Vince DiCola has this obsession with mixing synthesizers with orchestra, and it just didn't work.
And electric guitar. You got to add that in there.
Plus, you know, Rocky IV, I wouldn't even call it a Rocky movie. It was more of like a Cold War propaganda piece.
The Royal Philharmonic and Eddie Van Halen and conductor Vince DiCola. Yes! No, that would be his dream. You can put that together to score your flick. Awesome.
Vince DiCola would have a heart attack. He wouldn't have a chance to score it.
Let's check out what's on our TiVos. Now, guys, a lot of our shows are going away for a bit with their fall finales. Heroes is gone now. BSG will be gone after next week, I believe. Mm-hmm. So we're going to need some new shows to fill in the gap. One of those shows, there's a couple of them, and they're awesome, all right? One of them is called The Bad Girls Club, and this is on Oxygen, the Oxygen Network, or the
You're not making me watch Oxygen. I refuse.
The Ovarian Network, as I call it, and... What it is, Bill, is you take these bad girls, you know, these girls who...
They go
to nightclubs, they drink apple teenies, then they get in fist fights or something like that.
It's a bunch of Paris Hiltons.
Yeah,
I might have to watch that. If it's drunken women fist fighting,
they're in bikinis, they're drunk, they're hitting each other, slap fights.
A bunch of cat fights.
And what you do is you put them all together in a mansion, try to get them to work through their problems. Let's see how this seems to work out.
You have no class at all.
I got no class.
Look how you're talking to me.
I want
to
be a playboy. I want to be a playboy.
I'm a stripper. I hang from poles buck naked.
Yeah, you're right.
I hang from a mother.
Don't get in my face.
Don't get in my face.
The only reason why I got into it with the dude was because of you.
Good audio there, Foggy. So that's the Bad Girls Club. If you want to see bad girls hitting each other, go see that. But that's not the only great show, Bill, because there's a new show called My Bear Lady, and this is on Fox Reality. What it is they've taken porn actresses or porn starlets. I don't guess they're not actresses. Or maybe they are. They do fake orgasms, so that's some acting ability there, right? And what they do is they take them to Europe, and they Shakespearean acting coaches try to teach them acting, real acting.
Oh, well, hey, that's interesting.
Now, here are the ladies trying to do Shakespeare. Let's check it out.
Reading books is very, you know, time-consuming.
I've actually never even heard of this.
This, is it just A?
I, me, deny thy father and refuse thy name, or if thou will not.
I've never really got very involved with Shakespeare or even read anything on it. So for a woman to actually write a piece like that, to me, was Wow, she had balls.
Thou art thyself. Thou not a monologue.
Is it Wilhelmina Shakespeare? Or?
Do they not know that William Shakespeare?
I don't think they have a clue.
William Shakespeare. Wow. You know, it's probably, the name is probably on the front of what they're reading, but, wow. I'm speechless. That's just, that's
really
sad.
And they've created a show based on this. Who comes up with this crap?
Now, I really hope that that was like a scripted line, because if anybody's that stupid, it's just really, really pitiful.
No, they are. Trust me. Another show that's been around for a while is America's Top Model, and they picked the model, Steven. I'm really excited.
Who is it? Who?
That doesn't matter. The thing that matters is the sore sport that the girl who lost is.
Who?
Let's check it out.
Carrie D. Oh, my God.
Vince Nicola music.
Where's my alarm clock?
I'm pissed. I put my heart and soul into this, and it wasn't enough. And I got called a bitch the whole way through it, and it sucks. And I feel really misunderstood, and I'm sad.
Misunderstood.
I'm really, really good. It's just bum city right now.
Do the ugly fashion show face.
It's just bum city.
Bum City.
What is that about?
It's just Bum City right now.
Don't you love sore sports? That's what it's all about.
I got no class.
Huh?
Well, at least you read.
I got called a bitch the whole way through it, and it sucks. And I feel really misunderstood, and I'm sad.
How great would it have been somebody to peek over shoulder and go,
if you lost, how are you misunderstood?
Yeah, I got called a bitch the whole way through, and I'm misunderstood.
They understood. That's why you lost.
Yeah, exactly.
So basically, my point here, guys, is just wait till the shows come out, because there's nothing good on. All right, guys, Heroes. The final Heroes until January 22nd. It was called Fallout. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was really great.
Horn-rimmed glasses guy and Claire, they show up at home, and everything's okay. And he tells her, go get your friend, get those videotapes, everything will be okay. I'll talk to your brother not to tell anyone about your power, because she's now told him about it, which he already knew. One thing they've tried to tease us about his character is he really bad? Or is he kind of good? Or is he just kind of a hard ass? What is he? But
yeah,
he seems to use the Haitian at will and erase anyone's memories. And I've thought about this, because later in the episode, Claire discovers that not only has her brother's mind been wiped and he doesn't remember anything about her powers, but her best friend Zach, now his memory's been wiped. But remember all of the things that he did for her, like he got all of his nerd friends to vote for her for homecoming and stuff?
Right.
Like, won't they remember that stuff? Like, hey, Claire, you know, we got her. He's like, what are you talking about? I haven't talked to her since the 7th grade
right.
or whatever.
Yeah, there's like a little plot hole there.
Or is it a plot hole, or is it just sloppy on horn-rimmed glasses guy?
It's sloppy on horn-rimmed glasses. It's not on the writing, because, I mean, somehow it's either it'll give or it won't.
Because
you know,
I'm thinking, like, when you have a guy who has powers that can erase your memory, he probably is allowed to do it in certain things. Because, obviously, what we find out here is he takes answers from somebody. Because he goes to talk to Siler, and let's go ahead and play this real quick. He talks to Siler. And then after that, his bosses are telling him to keep him alive, and that kind of pisses him off.
Yeah.
Let's check this out.
He lost a lot of blood. We sewed you up the best we could. Turns out you're not so untouchable after all. Oh, no. No, you'll find your abilities won't work. Not here. You're not going anywhere, Gabriel.
My name is Siler.
Now it is. It wasn't so long ago that you were Gabriel Gray. An insignificant watchmaker.
I restored timepieces. You know why I was so good at it?
No, why don't you tell me?
Because I can see how things work. What makes them
tick.
Like you.
We're interested in how things work as well. Everyone else we've met has had only one ability. You've taken on several.
Yes, that's what makes me special.
That's important to you, isn't it? Being special.
It's important to everyone.
Oh,
I think
special.
You're insane. I think the infusion of so many alterations to your DNA has corrupted your mind. All this power is degrading you.
It
yet here I am alive and well, and as soon as I get out, I'm going to collect one more ability from your daughter.
Uh-oh.
Sweet innocent.
That's enough.
Right. Indestructible.
I said that's right. Enough, Gabriel. My name is Siler!
So basically what we've determined is Siler's kind of a geek who is power hungry. He's crazy. He wants to be significant and mean something, but he's also a dork who's probably been picked on all of his life, so that makes him very dangerous.
That's why he wants the power.
And so what I was getting to is the horn-rimmed glasses guy, which I want to know this dude's name. What is his name? Mr. Bennett, Claire's dad.
Yes.
He's using the Haitian to erase all these people. I don't think his bosses would really take kindly to him kind of being really sloppy, and that's what he's doing right now, I think. He's being kind of sloppy at what he's doing, trying to cover up his daughter's tracks so she won't be in danger, which is understandable.
But what was also disturbing about the memory wiping was we find out that Claire's mom, her memory's been wiped many times.
Yeah.
And does that kind of lead to the whole insanity, the dog thing? And it's really, it lends this intense creepiness to the entire situation that this guy would be willing to just wipe memories, even his own family. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, what he doesn't realize is he just took his daughter's support system away of her best friend who was helping her through everything. Now he has no memory of even helping her.
Right.
And this rapport that they've developed is gone. How shocking would that be?
And even his own, isn't that his biological son?
Yes.
Wipe the memory, like, oh well.
Yeah.
Done.
This whole thing with Peter, he's in the cell. And you get the feeling like Claire wants to go visit him because he saved her life, and her dad doesn't even want her to really be around the guy. He's like, okay, come on, let's go. He's like, come here. And she's trying to tell him how much she appreciated that, and he's her hero, and he's like, come on, Claire, let's go. It seems like he doesn't appreciate anything either, does he?
No.
It's like, this dude saved your daughter's life. And
yeah.
He's coming across awful selfish, like maybe he means well, but everything he's doing is for a selfish reason.
Right, and we see that Eden, she wants Siler dead also. She says, hey, let me just go in there and tell him to blow his brains out, and he'll do it. I like how Siler turns it around on her, where he says, you knew the whole time what it was, and you did nothing about it. It's like, no, wait a second here. Don't turn it on me. You're just a bad person. Boy. Also, we get to see Hero and Ando meet up with Isaac.
Mr. Isaac!
And I love where he's telling them about how their friend was killed by the brain guy. And he goes, hold on a second. And he shows that he sketched out pictures when he wasn't on the sauce, right? Or on the juice. He wasn't chasing the dragon while he drew those.
Well, see, what's weird about those is he drew those without going into that trance, because he remembers drawing those. He drew them whenever Eden walked in and said, what are you doing? He said, he's sketching.
Yeah.
So he drew those when he wasn't under the hypnotic trance thing.
Right.
So there's like a whole nother level to his ability there that...
Yeah, I think it's
really
probably like it's like how they're learning their abilities, I think. You know,
like they don't necessarily have to fall into the trance anymore. They kind of adapt.
And
part
it's
of
the same with Peter. Like, he has this power where he's around people and he adapts their abilities, but also he seems to have, we talked about before, this precog ability to have a dream or something and kind of predict events in a way. We've talked about this a lot as how the series has gotten better with each episode. Because from the very beginning, the first couple of episodes, the characters aren't that interesting, you know, because they're kind of learning what's going on and their new abilities. And, you know, they're trying to make them interesting, but they're not so much. But it seems like the actors are making them more interesting. Like, definitely Hero is cool. I think Siler's a really interesting character. And I think that Eden got more interesting, as has Peter. Still, the Nikki thing gets on my nerves. But
it's like you said before, it's like the characters are learning more about themselves. I think the writers in this process are learning more about the characters and what they want to do with the characters. So it's becoming, it's gelling, you know, everything is coming together.
And it's exciting when they meet cross paths now, isn't it? Where like Peter got to see Claire and now Hero and Isaac
are together.
I like when he's like, I saw you in the future. Your brain was gone or your head was open and your brain was gone. Oh, okay. That's not good. And then he's telling him he's to concentrate and he paints that picture of the T-Rex and Hero holding the sword. Did you like that? And I love how
he says, I need to find that sword.
Yeah, I really need to find that sword. That was great.
If I step on a bug, I'll change the future.
Right, right. That was a, what, a Bill Bradbury reference?
Yeah, his neuroses is just, is really funny. But yeah, we were talking earlier this week about the whole dinosaur picture. Is it an homage to Bradbury because of the A Sound of Thunder short story where you go back in time and they hunt T-Rexes and all that? There could be any number of things that it's an homage to, but that's the first thing that popped into my mind.
Right.
They did that on The Simpsons as well.
Yeah,
they
definitely think it's
that same homage to that.
That's really cool. And he even did the Vulcan when he met Isaac. Nikki and DL, Nikki's hunting them as Jessica, and she shoots him. Did you like the shot through his melon? And
yeah.
Totally passed through. I thought that was a cool effect.
See, I thought that would happen at first.
Yeah, like
I was
kind of
surprised that he actually got shot, and then, but that was he trying to go into that phase shift mode, or was it just?
I just don't think he could react fast enough, or maybe he didn't know it was going to happen.
Yeah, he didn't know it was.
Well, what I'm saying is, whenever the bullet passed through his head.
Oh yeah, that's when he knew he was going to be shot at again.
Yeah.
So he just went into his phase mode.
The thing I think is funny when they show him use his power and he slowly uses his hand to go through a door. It's like he can just walk through the door. Why is he bothering slowly moving his arm?
But, you know, it's new for him, so it's
everybody's
real slow about using their powers. They don't know
it into a joke. Like he walks in the house and his son's sitting there and goes, "Dad, hello," and he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot," and he unlocks the door for him.
I really enjoy the actor who plays DL. I think he does a really good job, and you know, the kid isn't terrific, but I think he'll improve.
Right.
Whereas the storyline with the Jessica Nikki thing is just, I don't know, maybe it's Ali Larder as an actress, but I just don't feel like the story's going anywhere.
We need some resolve, and she turns herself in. When she hurts Micah, and then Nikki takes back over her body and realizes what she's done. She's like, "I'm dangerous around you guys." Then she walks away, and luckily there's some cops across the street, and she turns herself in for murder. Couldn't she have just smashed the windshield like Logan on Veronica Mars or something? Why'd you have to say you murdered somebody?
I murdered somebody.
But what's the use in giving yourself up to cops whenever your alter ego is Jessica, which is, you know, super powered?
Yeah, within minutes she could kick their asses and rip their arms off or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's not really thinking things through. But we also, there was an interesting moment where Peter, when his brother bails him out and he collapses to the ground, he has this prophetic dream. And we see the entire cast of Heroes together for the first time. Did you realize that? They're in one location.
All in New York, yeah.
And they all seem to kind of be running away from him. It's like New York, everyone's gone. It's like the Omega Man or something.
Yeah.
Because one thing we forgot to mention is Peter starts looking really frail and sick, doesn't he?
Yeah.
What's that about? Even around Claire, who has healing abilities, he doesn't seem to get better. You know, you look online and people are wondering what it is. Like, Bill, I was thinking maybe he overloads. If he's around too many people at once, his body can't take it. Like, Siler has multiple powers. He's around Claire. Then his brother walks in. Maybe his body can't take it. And you even see, like, everyone's trying to get away from him in his dream. And his brother walks right up to him. And he's not afraid. And that's when his hands turn red. And he just starts to explode or something. Or he, like, screams out. That was interesting.
Yeah, it's like I was talking to you this week. When I saw that, the first thing that popped into my mind was the Dark Phoenix saga from the X-Men books. You know, the whole Jean Grey thing, absorbing the radiation on that mission in space. And I see it as like maybe Peter's going to, it's so hard to interpret. You don't know where they're going with this show, but there's so many little winks to different comic book series. So,
yeah, that's cool.
Who knows what's going
to
happen.
It, to me, too, is if he gets close to the atomic guy and he can't control, he doesn't know how to control his own power.
Right. He would all of a sudden what the hell's going on.
Yeah, why, you know, all of a sudden.
Him just walking down the street's kind of dangerous when you think about it. As many people as they've encountered that have powers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Peter could get near this radiation guy, maybe absorb, or maybe the radiation guy touches Peter and Peter basically absorbs all the radiation guy.
Right.
And the power consumes him, and he's kind of reborn as a kind of like a Dark Phoenix type character.
Well, you know that in the future, he's got some big scar on his face.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's also, definitely something going on.
They've done a good job of making us curious for the break that they're taking. And another thing is there was a great scene where Eden goes in to basically kill Siler, tell him that to kill himself. Yeah. He's like, that's such a wonderful power you have, the power of persuasion. And she pulls out the gun. He's like, I know you from somewhere. And he uses his power to suck her through the glass. And he's like, once I've consumed your power, he basically shoots herself in the head. Now, was he just pretending not to be able to use his power the whole time?
I don't know.
Or,
no, he would have been able to use his power against Mr. Bennett. You know,
you think
so
is
Mr. Bennett have that power, or does the Haitian guy have it?
That's what I'm wondering. Like, he said you won't be able to use your powers in this room, is what he says.
What if Mr. Bennett has the power to suppress yours?
Right.
The Haitian guy is just the guy who makes you forget.
Do you think Mr. Bennett has powers?
It's entirely possible.
It is
possible. You know, and that's the thing about this show that Lost hasn't done in a long time. And that's make us question and make us kind of theorize about certain things and actually kind of be involved with it.
Yeah, they've done a good job. Now, here's an interesting scene that happens when the Haitian, Claire calls her dad very upset that her brother and Zach's memory have been erased. And she wants to call him and just see if he still remembers anything. And he says everything is okay. But all of a sudden, a mysterious black man shows up in her room. Time to call the cops.
I work for your father. He sent me here to make you forget. Like he sent me to your friend and your brother. And to your mother so many times. He'll be here soon, expecting that you won't remember anything. But it is very important that you do. Tell me, Claire. Can you keep a secret?
So that's why he doesn't talk very much. He's not good at line reading.
He's hard to understand. Why would Mr. Bennett want Claire to forget? That's the question I'm concerned with, because isn't she better off knowing what she's capable of in case somebody comes after her?
Yeah, it's just stupid. It puts her in more danger.
Yeah, if you put her in, then she's not afraid of Siler, because she doesn't know who Siler is.
Right. Obviously, this guy doesn't trust anybody, is what it seems like. Someone like Siler, they need him to exist in the show, because you need to have that kind of evil out there. I think it makes it very interesting. Not everyone's good. He just wants more powers and stuff like that. And I just want to know more about his different powers.
And I don't think Siler's the most important threat yet.
Right. Well, obviously,
I think he's kind of like a red herring.
Yeah, New York being destroyed is pretty important, too. The part where they're interrogating Peter and Matt's trying to read his mind.
Now, that was genius.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Yeah. He's kind of reflecting back at himself, like getting feedback.
Yeah, they're both getting headaches because they're being around each other.
He's like, what are you doing, man? Are you reading my mind? And then he's reading her mind. I wish Peter would have said, do you have a power? Because I do. And what I do is I take other people's powers when I'm around them. Something like that. Get the ball rolling on a relationship there. But instead, it's just like, well, that was weird. Okay, well, let's go. You know, it's like, come on, question it. Talk about it for a second. Just something like that.
They keep throwing this thing at us where, especially Matt Parkman's character, whenever he's trying to listen to the conversation between the Haitian and Mr. Bennett, he concentrates so hard that his nose starts to bleed. Like, what's going on there? If like you use it too much, or you know, it's dangerous.
I was thinking just the opposite. Was Mr. Bennett's walking around with the shield up all the time. He's using his power extra hard trying to break through that shield, you know, to read his
Because, you know, remember earlier in the season, he goes, who's Claire? He goes, wow, your power is more developed than I thought. Do you remember
that? What would ever cause the nosebleed? I guess that's my question to it.
Like, that's what I'm saying. He's trying real hard. You know,
I think that was a reference to Firestarter with David Keith. where he had the power to push things on you. You know, you blind, you son of a bitch. Oh, oh, oh. And his nose would start bleeding. I think that's what it was.
I think you're right. You know what? I don't even need to question it anymore. The answer, yeah.
But what I was going to say is when the show ended, they started a new tagline, and that is, "Are you on the list?" Did you like that? Yeah. Mohinder shows up back home, and that's Eden's like, "I'm going to take care of the guy who killed your father." And he's like, "What? Eden, hello?" And then now she's dead, so that sucks. Or is she dead? I think she's dead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What was funny was that on the forums, a lot of people didn't understand that she shot herself, and they were saying, "It looks like Siler took her brain." It's like, are you serious? Who thought that?
She pointed the gun at her temple. You heard the gunshot. You saw blood splatter on the glass.
Yeah, because you saw the kind of look on Siler's face like, "Oh, your brain's useless to me now." You know?
Right. So that's Heroes, man. We'll get back to Heroes on January 22nd. It's a great show.
It really is a great show.
Back together.
I hope they do some marathons because I really like take a look at like the first couple of episodes and then the last couple and how much the show has improved. They really found their legs on this show.
And it didn't take them nearly as long as it does most shows.
Right. I really think by season two, the show's going to be kick-ass. And I want to see what they do with the Nikki storyline. Because right now, I don't know. They got to do something about it, don't they? It's gone from, like, I wonder what her power is, to I wish they wouldn't show her as much.
Yeah. And I think it's pretty much the general consensus. I don't think there's any person out there that I've seen on any of the forums, whether it's the Ninth Wonders forum or any of the other ones, that really like the character of Nikki.
And it's not, I have nothing against the actress or anything like that. I think they just don't have anything for a character to do, and they need to admit that.
I mean, yeah, what is, I mean, other than she's got super strength and...
Because they told a lot about her character really fast. That's one thing I got to commend them on. They took the mystery out of her character by telling us, Jessica was her sister. Her sister died. Her dad had something to do with it. The money was hidden in her attic because she actually killed the people who her husband was in jail for. They told us all the answers, which was really cool. Mm-hmm. But now they've taken the mystery out of her character, and it's a lot less interesting.
Like, the only mystery now is, what is the helix on her back?
Yeah, what is all that? It's on the sword, too. The Haitian guy has it on a pendant. What is it? All right, well, a show that has had the formula for a long time, and they continue to do so, and that's Smallville, baby. Smallville, I was surprised it was back this week. I thought it was going to be gone until January, but it was an awesome episode, Bill.
Yes, it was a pleasant surprise.
It was almost, think Tremors in Smallville. It was kind of like that. Basically, it starts out with these, a labor camp or something?
Migrant farm workers.
It seems like you're, like, what is this, Mexico or something? But no, it's actually Clark's neighbor. He has a lot of illegal aliens working on his farm. Illegal
that
immigrants.
Speak perfect English and don't look Latin.
Right, and they work in the fields all day long, and one kid's like, "I came to America to see my mom. Why can't I see my mom? They won't let us leave." And he's like, "Oh, you don't want to leave. It's bad. Everyone who's tried to leave has disappeared." So they established that. Okay.
Maybe they just left and didn't come back.
Yeah, they established these people are mean. They're getting immigrants to come there. They're not letting them leave. And if people who have tried to leave have disappeared. So he talks his friend in, "Trust me, we're going to escape tonight." So they're running away, and something's chasing him through the cornfield. One of the guys gets sucked into the ground.
I thought it was the monster from Lost.
I thought it was a graboid was.
Graboid?
He who lives behind the rose.
So what I love, the way the show does the shocking intro, like he gets sucked under, the kid doesn't know what to do, and he runs away, and then "Somebody say!" Yeah, they do, ooh. Now, I want to ask you, Bill, throughout the history of this series, how many times has Clark gone into his barn and somebody is in his barn? And he goes, "Hey, what are you doing here?" How many times has that happened in the history of Smallville?
I've lost count.
The same amount of times as people have walked straight into Lex's house without knocking.
Or people winding it up at the hospital. And we did have a hospital appearance this week, didn't we, Bill?
Did we? Yes, we did. We did.
Which is always a good sign. Now, the kids, like Ernesto, I don't remember his name, but he's like tells them all about how this guy's holding him as slave labor, and his friend disappeared. He just wants to see his mom. So Clark's like, I'll take a look at it. And he drives over there, and it's a real creepy guy asking how his mom is. And, you know, he's acting very suspicious, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's like, well, you have a good day now. And he just stands there staring at him. Okay, well, bye. And drives away. And he's got the scared Hispanic guys. He's like, basically tells him to go meet him under a tree later.
And yeah, what cracks me up, though, is Clark has to, he asks the workers, he's like, hey, do you know Francisco? And they're all quiet, and one guy has to talk, and it's this like, really strong Spanish, and Clark's like, what?
He's like, I don't know Spanish.
What would you expect?
He's like, what was I thinking? I don't understand. So he writes it down. He goes, hey, do you know what this word is? And he goes, yeah, that's like oak tree number 5 or something.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, okay, well, I've got somebody to meet. And he dumps the kid off with Chloe. And
let me look on the map and find oak tree number 5.
Well, he shows up there, and the guy's there with another kid, and he's like, hey, where's Francisco? And he's like, me no see him nowhere, sir. And he's like, he does his x-ray vision, Steven, looks at the crops, dead bodies everywhere under the ground. I thought that was a very eerie scene. Didn't you, Bill?
What fertilizes yes. the corn.
Yeah.
I was waiting that for that impression just did. I was waiting for Jar Jar Binks.
But I thought that was really kind of morbid and cool how they had the dead bodies under the ground with his x-ray vision. For some reason, Clark sees it in, like, old vector graphics, but we won't get into that. So he dumps off Ernesto. I don't remember the kid's name. Is there
yeah, all I remember is the dead one was named Francisco.
Yeah, Francisco! And this kid, by the way, speaks perfect English. He has no accent, actually, so I'm just making that up.
But I think he's from Montana.
Did you like how with Chloe and Jimmy shows up and he's talking about what a date they're going to have? And he goes, then we're going to come back here for dessert. And he has a can of Ready Whip. And then he looks over and the little boy's like looking at him. He's like, oh, you have company. It's like, whoa, they're going to get it on later.
Jimmy Olsen is such a hornball.
Such a tool, man.
He is.
But you know
dessert.
What?
Dessert.
After Chloe, she uses her computer, which is really good at finding things. I don't know if they've established that yet on the series.
She's got the best computer in the world.
It determines that guess who owns the land of the farm, Steven? Guess who? Could it be LexCorp?
No, it's Luther Corp.
So it turns out that Lex actually owns that land. So Clark, what does he do? But he barges into Lex's house. Let's check it out.
I thought I told you you're no longer a welcome guest at the mansion.
Trust me, Lex, I don't want to be here either.
Oh,
but after
then
what
why'd
you've
you
done,
come?
And exactly what did I do? Did I swatted a fly with too much force?
I know you want to make money, Lex, at any cost. But exploiting and murdering migrant workers? Is that really worth the bottom line?
Clark, if you're going to accuse me of murder, you might want to have the facts to back it up.
Last year, Luther Corp bought Jed McNally's farm. And any illegal immigrant who didn't want to be used as forced labor was buried in a cornfield.
Oh, dear.
I don't know what you're talking about. But then I could quote you the Farmer's Almanac and you'd still call me a liar.
What do you think Lana
liar!
Would do if she found out about this?
Well, we could ask her, except she's on her way to Amsterdam on my jet.
With Willie Nelson.
I wasn't able to clear my schedule.
You should know. I've told the sheriff about this, so you can save your lies about Luther Corp for him.
The sheriff? Oh, no. Haven't we established that the sheriff's paid off a long time ago?
Yes.
Yeah.
So they go to the land and they arrest the guy. They dig up the dead bodies and Francisco's dead. And the guy's like, I'm going to get that kid and you too, Clark. And he goes into the ground.
He does his best Dig Dug impression.
And you know what? My favorite shot of the whole show, and I thought was brilliant, and I started laughing my ass off. They show the ground view of the camera going into the ground and crawling under as you see Clark looking down the hole. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, just the little bits of dirt go over, and it's like, wait a second, that hole was closed. How can you look up there and see little bits of dirt?
Right. But Chloe, they lose the little kid, and but they do find his mom, so that's good. And did you notice that Chloe is sporting some cleavage through the whole episode?
She has been this entire year. It's like she finally grew boobs and she wants to show them off.
Yeah. It almost seems inappropriate at times. She's dealing with this little boy and she's got her boobs sticking out in his face. But I'm sure he didn't mind.
Well, it's so obvious that that's where your eyes go first thing. It's like, whoa, hey.
Right, so they find his mom, and she's real happy because she hasn't seen her son in 2 years. And finally, Clark tells the poor kid that Francisco is indeed dead. And he's like, pull the car over! He pulls over, and hey, it's the guy's land where the guy disappeared, and he runs out. Also, we start hearing the rumble.
And you know, it was really convenient.
Was that like a St. Christopher's medal he has? Like, I should have given it to Francisco.
I think you're right.
They get attacked by the mole man, as I want to call him, and he sucks Clark under the ground. Did you like that? All of a sudden, Clark disappears. He's like, poof. He's like, Clark, oh my God. And you hear rumbling, and all of a sudden, you see the old guy fly out of the ground. And Clark's standing there all dirty. Basically, he just punched his ass underground and took the guy down with one punch, Steven.
He didn't know what hit him.
And then, whenever he comes out of the ground, he, like, walks towards this little fake Mexican boy, and he's, like, got this look on his face like, yeah, I'm bad.
Yeah, he did. He had this grin on his face. And he's like, remember earlier he did run away with the kid, like, super fast and got him out of trouble because the cops were coming because he stowed on a bus. So Clark just grabs him and hauls ass, and he's like, whoa, how did you do that? And he goes, promise to keep that a secret. And he's like, okay, I will. And it's like, what? That's all?
I'm good at keeping secrets.
Yeah, that's what the kid says. I'm good at keeping secrets. Like, that was creepy. Okay, well, anyway.
But also, that same scene we were just talking about where he comes out of the ground and walks up to him, there's no dialogue.
No, it's just an awkward scene.
He
just walks up,
and then he looks at the ground, picks up the medal, puts it in the kid's hand, and that's it. It's like, what?
Yeah, cut to him meeting his mom, and it was happy. Oh, it was great. And all is well. Chloe and Jimmy are together, but then Clark shows up, and then there's this awkward meeting here where Jimmy wants to have a word with Clark.
CK, just the man that I wanted to see.
CK.
Look, I'm a straight shooter, so we should probably just get this out in the open. I know that you got your issues with me.
What do you mean?
Well, the whole Chloe and me thing. And hey, you know what? I get it, but what I'm about is working through it. You play hoops? Great, cool. Then we will, go play a little one-on-one, and we'll just leave it out on the court. Because, you know, I'm your bro, not your foe.
Nice.
Ring that bell, dude. There it is.
Did the music seem way overdone in this episode, too?
Yeah.
There were times where we would do that, you know, Smallville music where it would be, like, not even necessary.
It's like they need to tell you that this is supposed to be goofy.
Lana, she's been in Amsterdam the whole episode, right? So she shows up. Well, first she tells Lex, and then she tells Clark that she wants to do some good. She wants to help these migrant workers, right?
She always, it's so funny too, in each one of these episodes where Lex is involved in something crooked, then she immediately wants to help whoever is involved in his plan.
Right.
And he's like, oh, okay, yeah, absolutely.
How much did you love when Clark says something to her about it and she's like, well, he doesn't lie to me, unlike some other people. So basically, it's not over yet though. The episode was great. I'm going to say A+ episode so far, right?
But yeah, I can't wait for the episode where Lana finally finds out that she has been lied to this entire time.
Yes.
By Lex. The drama of that episode just has me, like, tingling.
But
I'm
it's
so
not
excited.
Over yet, because Lex, he's going to find out something about this farmer, Mr. McCready. Is that his name?
Mr. McCready.
And it turns out he's up to something. Let's check it out. Oh, and by the way, the music is badass.
This is what I brought you. This you can't. McNally remains in a low-level coma. You may forget me. I promise you my heart, just promise to sing.
So where are they? But they're in 33.1.
The newly relocated 33.1.
Yeah, I guess they put it on the same floor.
Kiss my eyes and lay me to sleep.
And this is this Weird Al Yankovic singing this?
Yeah.
This is what I thought, so think me naive.
And they have this cool slow-mo. He's walking down the hallway, Steven. You see all these hands trying to grab him who are in cells.
Really threatening lighting.
wouldn't they keep superpowered individuals in cells without bars where they could reach through?
They're special bars.
And then the door slams, 33.1. What is in store for Smallville? We're going to have The Flash. We're going to have Aquaman. We're going to have... I didn't see Martian Manhunter there, did you?
No, I don't think he's in this episode, in the Justice episode.
And Cyborg.
Green Arrow.
We haven't had any Lois or Green Arrow in a while, and I can't wait. I'm jonesing, man.
Lois is actually a good thing. At this point, Lois and Lana can both fall off the face of the earth for me.
So when's Smallville coming back? Because it's not back next week.
I think it comes back early January.
The last Smallville of 2006. Would you title this Freak of the Week episode?
Yeah. This is kind of the in-between episode. This is the filler of the season.
Oh, hell yeah! Man, that's just too badass.
You know what's really funny about it is that whenever we watch it and we see these scenes and this music, so tailored to the, like, 14, 15, 16-year-old group.
Yeah.
They would eat that shit up.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Is anyone watching this and that music starts and they're like, bad ass or damn. What about you guys? When they showed the previews with the Justice League and Clark's there walking with all the other heroes, were you like, awesome. Joygasm.
Something like that, JLA. I guess. You know, it's so hard because Smallville... You can't
I love the show. When that conversation that Clark has with Lex in his house, and he's talking about, oh, what's the matter? Did I swat at a fly too hard? And it's just like, man, that's some awful dialogue, but you know what? I love it.
The same argument each time Clark comes in. Like, yeah. I can't believe you've done this. Done what?
Or, Lex. And he's like, Dad, I told you you're not allowed in my house anymore, Clark.
And Clark always comes in opening both doors.
Yeah, he's
like,
gotta
one
do...
door isn't good enough. He's got to open them both. Yeah. Like the crow going into the church.
Yeah, it's awesome. Or RoboCop would do that too. Let's talk about some BSG and get it in the news. What do you say, folks?
Yes.
So I like, basically I've always wondered about on this show, like Lost also, is how, when will they run out of food? On Lost they had the drop, so they have more food, but on this, it's like, where's their food coming from? They were on New Caprica, and you know they've used a lot of food, right? Well, it turns out they have food processors that got corrupted, right?
Giant Cuisinarts. Yeah. Got a little E. coli in them.
And, yeah, now the food's all ruined, so they can't use it. I'm wondering if on other ships they're out of food, too.
I think you're forgetting to mention something. Who wrote this episode?
Oh, Jane Espenson.
Yeah.
Who also was a writer on Firefly.
Josh.
And I think Buffy, wasn't she?
Yeah, I believe so. And this whole episode is about being out of food and having to find new food. And apparently they need algae to make some high-protein meal, which, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound too delicious to me.
I love black algae. It's good for you.
Yeah, I mean, they said it goes through the food processors. Does the food processor, is it like, can turn it into something that's edible, I hope?
Why wouldn't they just rehash their crap? Because that black algae looks nasty.
Now, here's what I want to ask you guys. Okay, basically, they found it's in this, like, cloud, this radiation cloud, right? And they have to get through it to get to the planet that has algae, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They need the pilots of the Raptors to guide the bigger ships through so they can land and store all the algae, right? And I'm getting way ahead of myself here. Did you guys understand what the hell was going on and what they needed to achieve when they were in the clouds and getting lost all the time? Mm-hmm. Were they just supposed to tell the bigger ships to follow their headings to get out of the cloud?
The bigger ships couldn't have on their navcoms without burning out their system. Yeah. So the smaller ships had the extra protection, the shielding, I guess, if you will,
right,
around their navcom system. So they could find where they were their next jump spot.
But they had to fly blind.
But like they were flying. Yeah, they were flying right. Blind, but the jump ships were going with their navigation systems, and they could tell give them the readings, you know.
Okay.
With theirs turned off in the big ship so they didn't burn out their computers.
Right,
they
right.
didn't know where to jump. They had to manually feed in numbers.
Okay.
But well, they also had to do everything super fast because the radiation would bring, like, it was like cancer radiation or something.
Right. Now,
yeah, it's like super high.
Here's Apollo telling them, all the pilots, about the mission.
But the truth is that nausea from the radiation exposure will take care of our appetites. You'll all be issued with radiation badges to track our exposure. White, like this, you're okay. As your exposure increases, it'll darken. If it approaches this, then you'll be pulled from duty. Keep checking your badges. It's every pilot's own responsibility to monitor their own badge. Starbuck.
Remember, we're all flying solo on this mission. So that means there'll be nobody there to bitch slap you if you start to get tired or start seeing little toasters on your wing. We'll be issuing stims, so use them.
What? Are you crazy? We can't use stims.
Cat, do you have a problem?
Stims amp up your metabolism. We've got nothing to burn. We put stims in our system when we're flying into the side of the ship.
Is that true? They'd mess us up?
You used to like the stims, Cat.
All right, personal discretion.
Yeah, Sasha.
Now, what? This whole episode turns out to be kind of about Cat and her former life as a drug runner. Yeah, and I guess when you drug run in their world, she ran drugs in a ship, right? A spaceship?
Right.
She has this junkie following her around who recognizes her, and it turns out she took some dead girl's name and took on her life, right?
Right.
Yes, Sasha.
And, yeah, Sasha.
That cracked me up. And I don't know why. It was just funny.
And Starbuck finds this out. And Starbuck's kind of rude to her, isn't she? She's kind of mean.
Yeah, because they were transporting people as well.
And she said, are you a traitor? And she's like, I'm no traitor. And really, she's done a lot for her duty. She's killed a lot of Cylons, so it's ridiculous to call her a traitor. She's just, I think Starbuck hates her guts. And I've never liked the character of Cat anyway.
Well, no, they said that if you helped the Cylons at any point, you were a traitor.
Yeah, which is,
and if you don't know you're helping a Cylon, how do you know if you're a traitor?
Yeah.
And this episode, it brings all that up, but it also tries to redeem the character of Cat, and I just didn't care.
Essentially,
I thought she was scummy anyways.
Essentially, what her character does is she commits suicide, doesn't she?
Yeah.
She does something very brave, but at the same time, she does it on purpose. It wasn't even her turn to go, and she traded her little radiation badge. It was black with helos, so she could go. And she even has sex with a guy, kind of like a moment of intimacy before she goes to die. So she did something heroic, but at the same time, she killed herself also.
I think it was more of like a selfish redemption.
And it wasn't,
or was it guilt for what she thinks she may have caused?
I think it was guilt, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Guilt, it has to do with being selfish. You know, it just, there just was something about her character that I don't care how guilty you are, she was doing it for herself.
Right, and there's,
so that she wouldn't look bad in other people's eyes.
The reason she didn't jump back when everyone else did is because she lost the ship and she stayed until she got it. But it wasn't even her turn to go. Maybe if Hela was there, he wouldn't have lost the ship to begin with, and that wouldn't even been necessary. But I like the scene where she comes back and everyone's cheering and clapping, and she stands up, she does the arm thing, and then she falls over. It was sad that she, I mean, there's nothing worse than dying of radiation, right? And
Starbuck, we learned that in Fat Man and Little Boy with John Cusack.
Yeah, and Starbuck gives her some sleeping pills and says, take these. She says, by the way, I didn't mean what I said. I thought it was a really good scene where Adama comes over and he promotes her. And he stays with her, and he talks about his life and his wife. Also, they had some Cylon stuff again with Deanna, who apparently she's repeatedly... She
killing
keeps
herself.
Doing it over and over again, killing herself and coming back. And she sees the mysterious five faces of the mysterious Cylon. So that told me right there that, remember when Caprica 6 said, we don't talk about them? They don't know who they are either, is what it tells me. If she kind of sees their faces when in between life and death, that means there's something going on with those five models, that maybe they came first and now they're gone and there's something mysterious about them. Maybe they left the Cylons. They actually turned and went somewhere. I don't know. And there's this weird scene where Baltar grabs that chick in the pool's arm and she's saying weird shit to him and something about the Eye of Jupiter.
I was lost on this one. The only thing I kind of got from it was that, is it that Gaius wants to be one of the five models or something?
Well, if he knows that, he knows he'll at least belong somewhere, because he knows he can never go back to the humans.
Right.
They'll kill him immediately as being a traitor. And he doesn't belong with the Cylons. But if it turns out he's one of those five models, at least he will belong somewhere. he's a mess, but he's getting...
And it seems kind of weird that Baltar would be able to see or have any kind of connection to that.
Yeah, but Cylon. You never know with their technology where you touch things. But he likes having three-way sex with robots, apparently.
Yes.
And they did something with the cat character where, like, Bill, you said you didn't care, but I actually, for the first time, didn't hate her. And I thought they did a good job of sending her character away. You know what I mean?
Well, I agree with that.
A nice swan song for her character. And I'm not sad that she's gone because her character drove me nuts. Got on my nerves. It's kind of like when Nikki on Heroes, she finally gets the radiation dose and dies. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll feel sorry for her character, but I'll be glad she's out of the storyline.
Yeah. next character to go is Hot Dog, hopefully.
Yeah, Hot Dog. No, but don't you think it's cool about the show how they have the background pilots who are always there? They don't even have a lot of lines, but they're always there. I think that's cool.
And then they always get at least one episode a season, you know, that concentrates on their story.
Right. And
so, it's not a bad job.
I love the effects in the show when they're out in the cloud and stuff, and I love the radio chatter on their headsets and stuff. It reminds me so much of Star Wars when they're the Battle of Yavin and you hear the chatter on the thing. I love the technology on this show. I think it's really cool. I loved how when they would show the pilots get back and they'd be throwing
they're decontaminating the ship.
They go in a tent and everything. That's one thing I wondered is the people who are on the civilian ships, are they landing on that planet and running out and going, as soon as they land on the planet?
I think those ships have a little better shielding.
They're
thrown
up on the algae that they're about to eat. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did say that they have a little bit better things. But did you notice, wasn't one of the ships...
It's like one of the ships, the ships have better shielding... But these have better navcoms. So yeah. Like
they said that the Raptors were built to sustain atomic blast or something. But
they would have to. They look like pigs. Beastly looking things.
And that was BSG. And next week, I think, is the finale. Is that right?
Next
and then it'll be gone till when? January, February,
somewhere in there.
Hey, I'm going to miss it. Well, we'll talk about that next week.
I enjoy any episode that has like a lot of like raptor and Viper involvement.
Yeah, that's
because
cool.
I always love the effects they do and the way they direct it and write those scenes. They always write them real tight, like you it's kind of like edge of your seat stuff.
And that's what they always do on the show. Do you notice where they take us into the room where they're all planning the mission, how they're going to do it? This is what we're going to do. So then when it happens, we know exactly what's going on. When they were losing the ships, I was like, what the hell are they doing? Why do they keep losing the ships? It was confusing me what was happening. Mm-hmm. And I had missed, I guess, the fact that they were being guiding them. But as soon as they got in the area, they were like, holy shit, I can't see. Wouldn't you have said, hey, can you tint my window before we go back out there? Because they would jump in there and be like, whoa, and they couldn't see. Wouldn't you have tinted it after the first mission? But maybe it would have melted off or something. I don't know.
Put the tint on the inside.
Yeah, or put a blast shield on your helmet or something.
Right.
Wouldn't you have done that, Bill?
Hey, there's an idea.
With the blast shield down, I can't see...
If they like using so much Star Wars stuff, why didn't they take the blast shield?
All I know is if there's a Star Wars series, the effects, if they don't live up to this show, it's a failure.
They better hire some of the writers and the effects team.
It better not look like Andromeda with Kevin Sorbo. please stop. Let's do the news.
I'm your bro, not your foe.
That's good to know. Hey, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
Well, I'm going to try to do Vanessa proud here, so I'm trying to stick to the stories that I think she would choose.
Oh.
This story should belong in the your tax dollars at work category. In Orlando, Florida, that is, five police officers are facing suspension over porn emails.
Nice.
It says five Orlando police officers face suspension after they allegedly sent pornographic emails to each other while on duty. Investigators said the officers, including two lieutenants, emailed the images to each other on city computers. What you do on your own time is your own business, but viewing pornographic pictures at work is not appropriate, Internal Affairs Sergeant Joseph Wint said.
Definitely
now,
not.
Now, this is pretty common. You know, I it's strange. You know, there's something about, like, I wouldn't send you porn pictures. You know, there's just, that's, yeah, it's internal, what is that called? Current affair.
Yeah.
Yes, nice. But that's just creepy. Why would you sit around at work and send each other porn? I mean, do you not?
They're
wouldn't
really
you do,
bored. Maybe there's
you
wouldn't not
even
a lot
do
of
that
crime.
At home. Hey, look, it's porn.
Check out this.
Do
one.
You think they were like, okay, guys, now you have internet where you can solve crimes using the?
No, this is. They got to prove themselves to be a bigger man than the other one. So one sends them a picture of a girl, you know, nude. Oh, well, I've got a better one here. Check this one out. It's trying to one-upmanship.
What's really weird about this, what's really weird about this is this. These emails were sent 2 to 4 years ago, so now they're just getting to it. The investigation was actually prompted by a civil lawsuit filed by 4 other male officers who alleged they were sexually harassed by their superior, a Sergeant Barbara Jones.
Huh.
So they said they were subjected to daily inappropriate advances, touching, and gropings. This sounds like a really...
Billy.
Screwed up police
division.
Is this like
a really low crime area, I'm hoping?
They have nothing better to do but grope each other and look at porn.
And then they wait 4 years and find it out and then start doing something about it.
Well, it's probably been, they've been investigating for 4 years. So there's your tax dollars at work. It took them 4 years to go.
Good Lord.
Okay, now, I found this story that just really appealed to me. I love fried food. There's nothing better than fried food. You know, you got that dry heat method, the crunchiness, everything about it. Now, what do you guys like anything particularly that's fried?
Oh,
jeez, I love
fried cheese.
Chicken fried steak, fried chicken, fried everything.
Okra.
Yeah. Okay, well, let me run these by you. Would you eat fried spaghetti and meatballs on a stick?
Huh.
Would that appeal to you?
No.
You know, I might try it. I might take a bite.
It doesn't appeal to me, but I'm not saying I wouldn't try it, but
okay.
It doesn't sound appealing.
How about fried cheeseburgers?
You know what? I would take a bite. I'd try it.
If it was, like, dipped in a batter and, you know, now this next thing I have actually done, fried macaroni and cheese. If you make, like, real macaroni and cheese, like, in a casserole dish, the next day when it solidifies up, you cut it in squares and then, you know, put it in, like, an egg wash with a little flour and bread it and fry it, and you can, like, eat it while holding it. It's so good. The next thing, how about fried pizza?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
This is so nauseating.
Fried dill pickles?
I've had those, actually.
You know what?
Those
yeah, so have
bad.
I will not take a bite of that.
Fried pretzels.
No, I don't like pretzels.
You don't like pretzels?
Nope.
The big doughy ones?
You'll never get in there.
See, I don't know. This is the story. They're just talking about how, you know, during Thanksgiving, it's become kind of popular now to fry your turkeys. Thanks, Eddie. Well, Eddie D's in there. He loves his fried turkey. But Martha
pork
Stewart started that. Oh, no. Fried turkey.
Fried pork chop sandwiches.
Fried pork chop sandwiches.
Delicious.
But Martha Stewart started this whole turkey deep frying trend, and as a result of that, it's inspired new interest in deep frying anything. So now you've got, you know, like I said, spaghetti and meatballs, cheeseburgers, macaroni and cheese, pizza, dill pickles, pretzels, fruits and vegetables. Like, I would never fry an avocado. That's gross. You would think it would just, like, kind of melt and go nasty.
I've seen fried broccoli.
Yeah, fried broccoli, one of my favorites, fried cauliflower, fried green tomatoes, all that. But the thing that really interested me here is the fried Coca-Cola.
Yeah, that appeared at at the state fair this year.
How do you
Now, I guess
fry?
they mix the soda fountain Coca-Cola syrup that you mix with the carbonated water, but they put it in a dough and then kind of fry it and then put it over top the dough. Is that what it is?
I don't know how they were doing. They were showing it looked like little balls. Yeah, it's like some sort of a breading that they soaked into the Coke.
Uh-huh.
And then they deep fried that.
Interesting.
Now, I saw fried Coca-Cola, and I was like, oh, Jason, totally. He's always always drinking Coke.
It has to be fried Diet Coke.
Yeah, Diet Coke. That's right.
Fried Diet Coca-Cola. Of course, I've tried a fried Twinkie, fried Oreos I've had. I even had fried cheesecake.
Wow.
And fried Mars bars or fried Snickers.
I need to be more adventurous.
Popular. See, I love trying stuff, and it's only because I watch food TV. But I just thought that was interesting because I love fried foods. You know, I actually went out and bought like a $150 flash fryer that I'll like take out and use maybe once a year. I have a gigantic 5 gallon thing of peanut oil. Thanks, Eddie. Now let's get back to some real news other than food. This one... Yes. That's appropriate for this. As Steven would say, this one is a nomination for the Darwin Award. A woman staying at a Northeast Georgia motel this week shot herself while trying to light a cigarette with a pistol she mistook for a cigarette lighter.
Nice!
Nice try. Good done, man.
Now that is stupid.
Police said Olivia Hutcherson, 21, had been arrested for fighting at a Waffle House shortly before she shot herself in the hand with a .22 caliber pistol she had tried to use to light a cigarette. Now, I guess, you know...
At least she wasn't pointing the thing straight at her face.
Yeah.
Flee, this thing won't...
Yeah,
I was hoping. I was hoping she had shot herself in the face.
Yeah,
now,
yeah,
I guess fighting at Waffle Houses is like the new thing.
How white trash can you be? Not only are you fighting at Waffle House, you think you have a gun lighter in your purse. You're going to light your Doral with your gun lighter, but you actually grab your real gun out of your purse.
That'd be the next thing is someone pulling out their gun lighter and getting shot by a policeman over there.
Yeah.
Well, what's funny about this is this woman assumed it was a gun lighter. She said she was staying at this Western hotel, and she reached into the nightstand for what she thought was a lighter. Instead, she grabbed the pistol and then shot herself.
Don't they know not to keep one in the chamber in these households?
I guess not.
You know, anytime you pick up any kind of a gun, be it you think it's a cigarette lighter, or would you check it?
Yeah.
But just to assume automatically that a gun's a cigarette lighter, that's so white trash.
How bad would it be if she doesn't even own one? She just assumed because she's an idiot.
That's what I'm saying. Now, this next story, I don't know how people are surprised by this because it's so typical. It's a computer science lab instructor at a community college changed students' grades for cash and wine, and told a student to lie before a grand jury in an attempt to cover up his lucrative scheme. I'm sorry, but lucrative? Cash and wine?
Yeah, that's not real lucrative. I don't think he's aiming very high, is he?
Yeah, toss me a 20 in a bottle of that...
Boone's Farm?
That Boone's Farm.
It does not compute.
Maybe he's wanting even some cheap Thunderbird.
Yeah, he's not asking for a lot. He'll change your grade and make him a sandwich.
Some Riuniti Lambrusco.
Pork chop sandwiches!
Yes. Elvin Escano was charged with grand larceny, falsifying business records, computer tampering, and forgery. Queens District Attorney Richard Brown said Escano, 46, was arrested Wednesday after a six-month investigation, and he was arraigned and was being held in lieu of $100,000 bail.
Where are you guys dumb?
In a statement, Brown said Escano used his position over a 29-month period as an instructor and lab technician at the LaGuardia Community College to inflate student grades for courses and exams. In exchange for better grades, students gave him cash payments ranging from $200 to $2,500 or such items as wine and alcohol. That man has a problem.
It's a conspiracy.
I love a conspiracy. I'll take a little wine and money.
Get her drunk, you'll be good.
And I'll fix your grades.
Is he, like, getting other students drunk while he's doing it, or...?
No, he's just saying, hey, give me shit and I'll pass you. But it's a community college, for Christ's sake.
I guess it depends on the grade of wine, the grade you get. The better the wine, the better your grade.
But also, I mean, it's a community college, so they're really not that expensive. A lot of people go to a community college for 2 years and then, you know, upgrade to a, you know, a real four-year university.
I did that. Where, maybe these people are so lazy they just want to skip it and move on. So they're
but where are they? Yeah, wide. I did the same thing, Steve, and I had to because my high school grades sucked ass. $2,500? Where are they getting that? Are they like charging
drawing
it or writing
insanity.
It?
Just,
it's not $2,500. That's the accumulative, is it? It's not.
No,
it's,
they're saying it. The payments ranged from $200 to $2,500. People actually gave him $2,500 to give him better grades.
Well, hell, you're right. They could afford a full-scale university on that kind
of
pay.
I got no class.
I mean, that's beyond me. And then they have the balls. This investigator says this teacher violated his own professional ethics and destroyed the public's trust and confidence in the school.
Wow.
Oh, come on. Can you be any more dramatic?
Yeah.
I think you're insane.
It's like it's one teacher, bad egg.
It was a slow news week where they were. It had to be.
Now, here's another one that's just insane. This is out of, let me see here, Belmead, Texas, actually. A four-year-old hugged his teacher's aide and was put into in-school suspension, according to the father. But La Vega school administrators have a different story. DeMarcus Blackwell's four-year-old son was lining up to get on the bus after school last month when he was accused of rubbing his face in the chest of a female employee.
Pleasuring himself.
Yeah. The principal of La Vega Primary School sent a letter to the Blackwells that said the pre-kindergartner demonstrated inappropriate physical behavior interpreted as sexual contact and or sexual harassment.
Pre-kindergarten?
This kid was wiping his nose on the shirt of the female.
He's 4 years old. The last thing he's thinking about is sticking his head between a woman's tits.
I thought it'd be bigger.
His nose was itching or running, and he was
trying
to
wipe
it
snot off.
He's wiping snot.
I mean, that's just how. And then, okay, so the father is real upset at this, and he's trying to get them to remove the sexual references on the discipline record for this kid. The school came back with your request for an apology and the aid and removal of all paperwork regarding the incident is denied. And they will, but they'll change the sexual references to inappropriate physical contact.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't even have a clue.
You know, I don't know if that's part of like the zero tolerance policy. But the kid is 4 years old.
Yeah, that's a little...
Who is this person to be so insecure about themselves to think a four-year-old is sexually groping them?
Right.
She's got a great rack.
Now, this one's out of Tampa Bay, Florida. I guess there's this new ad from the ad council for the Smokers, the American Legacy Foundation, where they're trying to be funny with it. And the new ad is talking about passing gas because I guess smoke from a cigarette has certain gases in it. And a lot of channels are refusing to run the commercial because of the farting innuendo.
Really?
It says they just refuse to run it because they think it's inappropriate. Even though the smokers thought it was...
Oh, dude. Meeting's over.
That's too funny. Oh, that's great. But, the whole issue is they're trying to bring up the dangers of secondhand smoke, but they're making it sound like secondhand smoke is a fart.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You got to do what you got to do to try to get kids to pay attention to not... smoking. I guess those ads, the truth ads where they always have like dead bodies laying in front of tobacco industry.
Yeah, you know what?
Buildings aren't working.
I agree that smoking is bad and all that, but those commercials get on my nerves, man. Seriously. Oh,
I hate those so much.
What do you mean by that?
Way too preachy.
They're really pretentious.
They're just they're pretentious. They're very high and mighty and stuff. And I know smoking's bad. Tobacco companies are bad and all that. But the commercials just get on my nerves.
Yeah, just throw me up some statistics. You don't have to show me people chalk outlining bodies.
Yeah, they're very just hoity-toity, I think is the best way to put it. Yeah.
Now, this next story I picked only because of Vanessa's story last week about the spray-on condom. Yeah, I think Vanessa will enjoy this one. This one's straight out of The Sun, which everyone
two
knows.
Two shitholes.
ridiculous tabloid, but the story is now you can play it safe along with music. A scientist has come up with musical condoms that, apart from being a contraceptive, gives you the opportunity to play your own tone.
That's a great
thing.
That
gets louder as the sex gets more vigorous. Different lovemaking positions determine what tune is played by the condom.
So it's like
also
a xylophone? Is it the rich is it?
That's the song it plays.
Nice.
But that's only that song plays in reverse cowgirl position.
Yes!
Chevy Chase likes reverse cowgirl.
Yes, the rubber has tiny sensors connected to a mini electronic device that produces the sounds. Where is this mini electronic device going to fit?
And does it carry a current is what I'm wondering.
Yeah, it says there is no danger of being electrocuted, quoted Dr. Chavisky, saying who has teamed up with a manufacturer to export the condoms to Britain. They'll cost you about 20 cents more than normal condoms, but people will pay for the extra stimulation.
That would really change the mood.
That'd be...
Yeah.
Oh, hey, hey, Steven.
Here's a really kind of bizarre story. Damon Wayans has become the first famous offender of the Laugh Factory's ban on the use of the N-word and was fined and banned from the club for 3 months as a result.
Wow.
After the Michael Richards incident on November 17th, the club decided to ban use of the word and fine comedians $20 for every offense. Wayans took the stage
right now.
Sunday during a showcase of African American comedians called Chocolate Sundays. Wayans opened his routine with the line, "Give yourselves a big round of applause for coming down and supporting N Night," according to the L.A. Times. Wayans used the word 15 times during his 20-minute appearance. That's a combination of $320 to the Laugh Factory swear jar. Wayne's rep had no further comment other to confirm the fine and the temporary ban.
So basically he was just making fun of how stupid the whole thing is, right?
Yeah, and that's just so, it's so insanely stupid. I just do not understand that.
I'm your bro, not your foe.
I think
so
they're
maybe
taking
the comedian
the
should ban the Laugh Factory and let it close.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think they're taking this whole Michael Richards thing way too seriously.
Never touch a black man's radio, boy!
Last story I'm going to cover here. It's out of Michigan. Let me see here. Mount Clemens, Michigan. It says, a man who sodomized a dog plans to appeal a ruling that he...
Oh, that poor dog.
I think the dog's enjoying it. This guy plans to appeal the ruling that he register as a sex offender after leaving prison. Now that's embarrassing. Delbert John Holliday, 33, of East Point, Michigan, was sentenced to 3.5 to 15 years in prison Tuesday in Macomb County Circuit Court. He had pleaded guilty to sodomy and animal torture for an August incident involving a pit bull at his brother's house. Judge James Biernat ordered Holliday to register with the state sex offender registry, though sodomy legally doesn't address cases where the victim is an animal.
Watch out for your cornhole, bud.
It's a horrific crime and sexual in nature that may be indicative of more serious problems that may affect the community. This offense is a...
Good Lord!
This offense is of such gravity and is so horrific in nature that one certainly could strongly argue that sex offender registration be required.
Buck naked.
That has to be really embarrassing. What are you in for, bud? Oh, I'm the dog. And then to have to get out and register. You imagine people looking at, like, the registry site trying to see if there's any sexual predators in our neighborhood, and they see this guy sodomized a dog.
There's a dog fur in the neighborhood.
And that's... and that's news for this week.
Well, thanks, Bill. You did a great job.
I try.
Not as good
as Vanessa, though. Yeah, exactly. I'm not as good as Vanessa. And, you know, it's better when Vanessa does it, because then I can make comments. But, hey, you know, you do what you got to do.
Good stuff, Johnny.
Thanks.
Any cult news this week?
No, I kind of left cult news out because I was so busy trying to find good stories for normal news.
Oh, dear. Well, okay.
I'll do it whenever Vanessa comes back.
It'll be back next week. But does that mean there's no DVDs this week?
Oh, there's never not any DVDs.
Oh,
I've got a
hell
DVD.
Yes. Let's do some DVDs, baby!
Let's do some DVDs! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs! DVDs!
DVDs!
Yeah.
Okay, DVDs. Ooh, that had a lot of gravitas to it. That's some really good music. These DVDs
insane.
Are for... Oh, God. These DVDs are for December 12, 2006. That is exactly 12 days before Christmas Eve.
Oh, don't have much time.
No, there isn't. And you're definitely going to want to pick this one up, Air Buddies. Anybody remember Air Bud?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, well, now he's the father of five adorable puppies. What really drew me to picking this... What? Oh. What really drew me to picking this DVD out, though, is that it stars Michael Clark Duncan... Richard Karn of, you know, he played Al on Home Improvement.
Oh, and yeah.
And the legendary Don Knotts. Now, I thought Don Knotts was dead.
No, he's not dead.
Is he still alive?
No, he passed away. He passed away. He died.
Yeah, he died early this year, right?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's dead.
That's right.
So, Don Knotts has the distinction of Air Buddies being his last film.
You're the man now, dog.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, it does. I love Don Knotts. Apple Dumpling Gang.
Sure.
Awesome.
All those films that he did after Andy Griffith for
the
Disney
amazing
were
Mr. Limpet.
Great.
Yeah, yes. He was great.
And tie in with the Don Knotts thing, they are releasing the Andy Griffith Show, the complete series, which was 6 seasons. Next DVD is Barnyard. It's a child's film.
Oh,
I guess
God.
One of those computer animated things.
Computer animated film with talking animals. Can you please stop with the crap?
Talking animals that I think Kevin James is one of them. But I think Sam Elliott actually plays a cow.
Nice.
He's the voice of Kevin James' cow dad.
Hey, wait, isn't he also the beef spokesman?
I thought Roseanne
exactly.
Barr was a cow on it too, wasn't she?
That's a different
There's
movie
too many
with
of them.
But, I mean, she, okay.
So the head of the beef council plays a cow, basically.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of ironic. A man who tells us to eat beef is now voicing a cow.
It's what's for dinner, Bill. Dude.
Anybody remember the 1979 film Breaking Away?
Yes, mm-hmm. It's a great movie.
Yeah,
Cutters.
With Dennis Quaid, Daniel Stern.
Go Cutters, Steven.
Go.
Well, it's now Fox is now releasing it on DVD this week under its family feature banner. Well, I'm saying it's... You know how they always put like a category at the top of it. It just says right. family feature.
You know, that's one now, of those movies. This is one of the, that goes in the category of one of the movies that no matter what part of the movie it is in, I will sit and watch the rest of it if yeah. I see it's on.
But you know what's funny is this movie spawned a whole series of films from the early 80s after this that were bicycle movies.
Quicksilver.
Yeah, then there was that one with Kevin Costner and...
Right, right.
But yeah, there was a bunch of movies like that after this one.
But you know what? It also had the runt guy from the Bad News Bears in it playing the same character, essentially. Yeah. Hey, don't call him Shorty, Steven. He'll kick your ass.
All I remember about the Kevin Costner bicycle movie is that he suffered from, like, Parkinson's or something.
Yeah, some cancer or something.
Yeah.
Yoda, that's... Cancer isn't funny. Oh, you bastard.
Well, if you can't laugh at cancer, what can you laugh at?
Yeah.
Next DVD is...
Where's the beef?
that just took a little while to find there, Foggy.
That was a little late, Foggy.
Next DVD is Bugsy, the extended cut.
Nice. That was that Pixar movie. I love that with all the bugs. Awesome.
No,
computer animated movies rock.
No, that was the what
Where
was it? An Ant's Life or whatever?
Oh, the Bug's Life.
The Bug's
okay,
Life.
Bug's Life. Yeah. This one is the film about which mobster was it? Bugsy Siegel.
Bugsy
idiot. Which mobster was this? You idiot.
Bugsy Malone with Chachi. Yeah,
Bugsy Siegel was directed by Barry Levinson.
It's a great flick.
Yeah, I wonder what this extended edition is because
Do you want to know the one thing that I brought from this movie into my real life after I've seen it is 20 dwarves doing handstands on the carpet. 20 dwarves. 20 dwarves. Do you remember that part? He's doing the. He's trying to speak perfectly, so he says 20 dwarves doing handstands on the carpet.
I always thought it was cool whenever, at the end, whenever he gets shot through the movie screen.
Right.
It's like, whoa, hey.
Good stuff.
It is. It was one of Barry Levinson's better films.
Retarded.
Yeah, Barry Levinson seems to have lost whatever magic he had.
Yeah. Now, I wasn't a big fan of the Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe theatrical release, probably because as a kid, I really loved the C.S. Lewis books, and I just felt like the movie was severely lacking.
When it even probe you.
I thought the direction looked amateurish, and the effects weren't very good.
What I heard is a lot of people love the flick, and it was, after something like Lord of the Rings, if you do a flick like this without style, it really shows, especially
it
when
felt,
you're following on the coattails of Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it felt really empty. The guy that directed it, I think the only real film he had directed before this was the Shrek films.
Right. And when that doesn't count, it's a cartoon. So
yeah, when you move from animation to live action mixed with computer-generated graphics, it just doesn't really, I don't know. He was way in over his head.
That's what I think. How is it the same, really?
Yeah, but anyways, getting back to this, they're releasing the extended edition just like
good thing you didn't have garlic today.
The Lord of the Rings films were. And it's funny because they're releasing the extended edition where you can just buy it. It's a 4-disc set. And then they're releasing a gift set which comes with bookends just
nice.
Like the
Now let me ask you
Lord
this.
Of the Rings.
Is this extended edition in DTS?
I would hope it is.
Because the Lord of the Rings, you could get the theatrical version in Dolby Digital. Extended edition would have DTS.
Yeah, I would hope it is, but I don't see it. So, I don't want to make any assumptions, but they want $70.
Holy
for this,
crap!
Yeah, for this gift set, it's the 4 discs, a certificate of authenticity for the bookends, which are the wardrobe and Narnia with the the trees and the lamppost. But I just don't see $70 in
this. I just don't see those selling because none of it sells. I don't ever see any of those gift boxes sell.
Yeah, well, you know what? I actually bought the gift box for The Two Towers and Return of the King. And that's only because The Two Towers came with the Gollum figure, which I have sitting on one of my speakers.
Damn you, Reba Bell!
I just really loved that, so I got that. But you can pick up the...
But like the V for Vendetta mask.
I'd get that. But
I mean, they're too pricey, I think.
Nerd alert! Yeah, they are too pricey, but you can find them cheaper. You can find equals cheaper. But I would pick up possibly the extended edition 4-disc set for $30. I just wasn't really that big of a fan of the film, but I'll give it a rent.
Let me tell you another funny story, New Jack.
Next DVD is The Devil Wears Prada, which I assumed was kind of like a chick flick. I saw it, and I was basically dragged to it by one of my sisters, and I enjoyed it. I
got called a bitch the whole way through it, and it sucks, and I feel really misunderstood, and I'm sad.
I'm sorry you feel that way, but it was a good movie.
So you enjoyed The Devil Wears Prada?
Yeah, I did enjoy it. Yeah, it's chicky flicky,
really,
but...
He's really
flamey! Hey, I'm not flaming. A manly man can enjoy a female-geared movie
it's
once
a conspiracy.
In a while. You know, hey, I think that Legends of the Fall is a good movie, so there you go. And that's not a conspiracy.
I love Footlong!
the ambiguously gay duo. But this DVD has 20 minutes of deleted scenes, a commentary from the director, producer, costume designer, you know, all the things that
hey,
a
isn't
chick
that
would
the flick where
about.
That chick takes her top off?
No. So, which one? Anne Hathaway?
Yeah.
No, she doesn't take her top off in this, but she does look good.
Top off!
Next
Our
whole DVD
is out.
Yes! The next DVD is The Doors' 15th anniversary edition. Yes. Yeah. Not that kind of Doors.
Good Lord! What's happening to the door?
It's the Jim Morrison Doors.
Ah, Oliver Stone.
Yes, the Oliver Stone film with Meg Ryan, Kyle MacLachlan.
Meg Ryan's bare breasts.
Yes, breasts!
Whole boob is out!
Yeah, and they are out in this movie. She's lying on her back. I remember that scene.
So what'd you guys think of this flick, really? Did it give you a migraine headache?
Yes.
It did. Not quite a migraine. You know,
mild headache?
I've got a copy of it.
Did you like the Indians when he would...
Engines.
He would see the Indians and stuff.
Oh, man, I like
Mojo Rising.
I enjoy the movie to an extent, but it's also really, would you say, self-indulgent on behalf of
it's
Oliver Stone.
Oliver Stone was ranking his crank whenever he made this one.
Yeah.
It just is really
Now back
really
off and let me pee.
This DVD is interesting. It's... This next DVD is Galacticon, 25th anniversary
I love
celebration.
BSG. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's join the cast and creative team of Battlestar Galactica as they reunite to celebrate the show's 25th anniversary. Held in Universal City, California, you'll catch candid moments, rare appearances, and witness the once-in-a-lifetime event that connected fans with the stars who brought the hit television series to life. So I guess this is kind of like a Trekkies thing.
It's like someone with a camcorder walking around. What is it?
Yeah, I think it's just like they recorded this celebration of Galacticon. All the old stars are in it, like Dirk Benedict and Richard Hatch and all them. So if you're like a fan of the old series, you'll probably really like this. Most fans of the old series hate the new series. So
yeah, which is weird because
I was a fan of the old series.
Yeah, I can like them both. I can separate them. And you know what? I've watched the new series when they re-show on the old series when they show on Sci-Fi.
Yeah,
not that good.
Didn't hold up.
Really campy. Not too good. But as a kid, it's badass. You know, as a kid, Buck Rogers was good. That show sucked, all right?
I loved Buck Rogers.
Yeah, they're really holding on to the nostalgia factor, and you've got to separate it.
Yeah, you do. I can understand certain things that were really good, and then you make something new, but not when they were mediocre at best. Kid.
The next DVDs are James Bond Ultimate Collection 3 and 4. We covered 1 and 2, and now Volume 3 has From Russia with Love, For Your Eyes Only, On Her Majesty's Secret Service, Live and Let Die, and Goldeneye.
Nice.
That's not a bad set.
No, not at all.
That's five decent Bond movies.
I'd watch all of them.
Yeah. Volume 4 is... There's Dr. No, which is, you know, that wasn't that the first one?
Yep.
You Only Live Twice. Moonraker. Octopussy.
Moonraker knows.
And Tomorrow Never Dies.
How did they get away with releasing a film theatrically called Octopussy? I mean, seriously. It's called Octopussy. The name of the movie's Octopussy. They made a movie called Octopussy, and then they released it.
Well, it was the 70s,
it's
right?
Called Octopussy.
Like you said, it was the 70s.
No, it was 83.
No, it was the 80s. Mid-80s, babe. I saw it in the theater, and it was called Octopussy. How'd they do that?
Brilliant. I don't know.
They sold it well.
Wasn't the character of Octopussy a woman?
Yeah, Maude Adams.
So that's like saying...
It's like Squid Pooter? Are you going to listen to me about that? How do you get away with that?
I like that.
Squid Pooter. That's great. That's what they... Squid Pooter. I love it.
It's just as... This is the same thing as Octopussy.
Okay.
I thought it'd be bigger.
That was... Oh, man. Good thing it's not...
Box office poison.
Speaking of box office poison, there's two films in this three-pack that are box office poison. This is a triple feature set released by Warner Brothers, and it has The Last Boy Scout, which is just a great campy action
fun movie. Love it.
Yeah. But the two box office poison in this pack is Dead Bang, the Don Johnson film, and Action Jackson.
Awesome!
Carl Weathers, Craig
T.
Nelson.
Turn me.
But you can pick up these three movies for $12.
You know what? That was a Tony Scott movie I loved, Last Boy Scout.
Yeah, why wouldn't... You know, this is like a classic 80s...
Does he do me
action
that way?
I would totally buy this for $12, but I already own The Last Boy Scout. So.
I'd watch Action Jackson again, man. That stuff rocked. Who else would have Coach as a bad guy? Craig T. Nelson.
Don't you remember? He was the bad guy in Turner and Hooch, too. He did like a whole series of films in the 80s that he was the bad guy.
He was the heavy.
Yes. Remember Turner and Hooch? They were freezing money in ice blocks. Holy crap.
This is going to be a f***ing disaster.
Yeah, I think that's what they said when they started shooting the movie.
It's like, who wrote the script? Not Shane Black, that's for sure.
Next film is Marked for Death, the Steven Seagal film. And if you remember, wasn't this the one with the Jamaican dude, the Jamaican drug lord?
Right.
Yes. It ends up dying. He's thrown down like an elevator shaft.
That's the one where he does the "they were both wrong," right? He's sitting in the car with a dude. You know, one guy thought he could live forever. One guy thought he could fly. They were both wrong.
Yep, that's it.
Awesome.
There's just something great about those late 80s, early 90s Seagal films. You know, you look at something like Attack Force,
yeah,
which came out last week.
Chiseled features with a smile that could light up a barn.
Yeah, and now it's a big fat double chin with jowls.
Big ham head.
Yeah, he's got a ham head.
He definitely does.
His head actually looks like a honey-baked ham. Complete with the, like, glaze, that brown sugar glaze.
Yeah.
Next DVD is... I love Eddie Deaton. Next DVD, this is a classic. 1980s The Bodyguard with Matt Dillon.
Oh.
I think you're insane.
No, dude, he's not. That movie's genius.
The Bodyguard or My Bodyguard.
Do you remember the one kid's name in this movie?
Yeah, that's Bill. Steven's got a point there. Are you talking about My Bodyguard?
I'm sorry, it's My Bodyguard.
Okay, because The Bodyguard, I would not be celebrating.
No. That's the Whitney Houston movie. I'm sorry, this is My Bodyguard.
Okay.
But do you remember the kid's name in this?
Chris Makepeace.
Yes.
Yeah, but what was his character's name?
Is it Robbie or something?
Clifford Peach.
Ah, Clifford Peach. I got to tell you guys something. I love this movie. It's one of those movies that's on cable. You come home from school and it's on and you watch the whole thing over again. By the time it's over, your dad walks through and it's time for dinner. But, man, I love that movie. I got to own this on DVD.
But this is one of those movies that it was like, you know, it was the typical 80s thing. Like the new kid.
Yeah.
And Matt Dillon was like the bully.
Yeah, Mooney.
I definitely didn't want to go to that school because the bigger kids looked like they were at least 5 years older.
They
looked
like they were in their
mid-20s.
Yeah.
And they would kick your ass. But I love the scene where they're looking for the motorcycle part, and then they find it, and then they go on that great montage of them riding. They're taking turns. They got their arms up in the air.
Riding through the streets of Brooklyn.
That was awesome. Love
that
movie.
You know what's funny is that the cover of the DVD has that scene on it.
Nice.
It's like it's a Polaroid, but what's funny is the cover has Matt Dillon in this like boxing pose, and then there's a Polaroid behind him of that scene with them on the motorcycle. It's just so corny, the cover of it.
No.
You know, one thing I don't understand is, wouldn't it be easier for them to go back and use, like, the original poster artwork?
Instead of cheesy Photoshop?
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, have they done anything special with this DVD? Because I know this has been released before.
No, they haven't. This is just, again, it's under that 20th Century Fox family feature banner, and they just slapped it on there.
What is the best way to take away someone's dignity?
They just slapped on there with the trailer, TV spot.
Well, you know, I don't own it, so I want it. I want my bodyguard. Awesome.
The next DVD is another triple feature from Warner Brothers, but this one, unlike the other one, has three films we should all own. And if you already own them, buy them again. It's Shaft, Shaft's Big Score, and Shaft in Africa.
I am so sorry, Bill.
No, you shouldn't apologize. These are three terrific films. Richard Roundtree is just a benefit to our society.
I've never seen any of the Shaft flicks.
I've seen the first one, but I haven't seen the other
two. Like
going
to movie jail?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know the theme song. Shut your mouth.
Yeah, I think I actually own the first one for some reason.
Yeah, I'm afraid something inside me died.
Sorry.
yes, if you haven't seen Shaft, at least the first one.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch!
This week we get blessed with the Will Ferrell, Adam McKay film, Talladega Nights. Yeah, this is the unrated widescreen edition. I haven't seen it. I thought it might be funny, but everything I'm hearing about it is that it's painfully horrible.
Is that Sacha Baron Cohen in that? Is the
yeah,
driver?
He plays the French guy.
Right. See, I don't know. There's got to be some laughs in this.
No.
I'm going to Netflix it.
No. Not at all. No.
Come on, he
did you
this
see
kid
it, Steven?
Walker and Texas Rangers, Steven. Doesn't that look funny? When he's burning, he thinks he's on fire, and he goes, "Help me, Jesus! Help me, Tom Cruise!"
No.
And that.
No.
Did you see it, Steven?
No.
Well, then shut up.
No, but I did see Anchorman, which was painful.
Anchorman is. See, the problem with Anchorman is you have to completely, like, lose your mind. You have to watch it and just let the stupidity take you over.
You have to realize it's just a ridiculous movie, I think.
Yeah, they weren't trying to make anything, you know, they weren't trying to make high art.
I know. I went into it with hoping it was just funny. It was.
I mean, how can you not like a movie that has a character call someone a smelly pirate hooker?
There were two funny things in this movie. Jack Black punts the dog off the bridge.
That's how I roll.
That cracked me up. And then the one that somebody smells like panther piss or something, you know.
That's a great thing.
See, you talk about it, and I start laughing.
See, Steven, you're laughing.
No, I said there were two funny things.
No, I know. I was
and that's
saying.
What, those were.
Wasn't
I mean,
that worth the price of admission, Steven?
No.
What about that scene where
guess who
where
has my DVD
home?
Of it?
What about the scene where he comes home and the dog goes up to him and starts barking and he interprets it like, "You ate the whole thing?"
No.
I'm really impressed. That was so funny. Come on. You're such a killjoy.
I'm going to enjoy it. I bought the DVD.
Steven not only gave it to me, he threw it at me.
And what about the commentary track with Lou Rawls?
The commentary is really funny.
So I'm definitely going to rent this Ricky Bobby. I'll probably enjoy it. Next DVD is
Steven, will you throw that copy at me so I can watch it after you buy it?
No, I'm not buying it again. I'm not buying that one.
The next DVD that is actually on my Christmas list, it's Voltron, Defender of the Universe Collection 2. I loved this show as a kid.
Get out.
Shut up, man. Superboy, kiss my ass. This is a great series. Are you awake, Steven?
Yes, I'm awake. What are you talking about? I just got to make comments about...
I thought this... maybe I put you...
You sick bastard! This
damn Ricky Bobby character.
Okay, last DVD. Let's wrap this sucker up. It's World Trade Center Special Collector's Edition. This was a decent movie. It wasn't terrific. It was good. Oliver Stone was surprisingly...
I disagree with it.
He was surprisingly restrained. And just because you have a thing with Oliver Stone, Tom, doesn't mean that, you know, you can badmouth everything. You know,
yeah,
I know you're happy.
I love Oliver Stone, but, you know, he can be way overindulgent. But this, I heard he's very restrained.
He is.
He's very tasteful.
Well, he probably had to be, you know, dealing with the subject matter.
Yeah, but
one.
For him, it would seem like it'd be kind of hard. But he's changed a lot as a filmmaker. Then when you watch something like Natural Born Killers,
yeah,
which mm-hmm. is him just going insane and, you know, needing to tone it down a bit, he that person has changed, my friend.
Yeah, I thought he did a really, really good job with this film, and the script wasn't bad either. It's a good movie. It's hard to watch at times if you let yourself get affected by it, but it's a really good movie, and I'm looking forward... Well, I can't say that. It's not really good. It's a good movie. It has commentaries from Oliver Stone, the on-screen rescuers, and the survivor, Will Jimeno, which I think is one of the characters in the film that...
who won't survive the shot?
Is actually caught with the Nicolas Cage character. And it has a making of, in-depth interviews with the real-life survivors, all kinds of little things about it that you probably never watch. Comes in Dolby Digital 5.1 in English and French. I guess they do that because it's also a Canadian release. I'll probably put this on my Christmas list, too. And that's DVDs for December 12th, 2006.
Hey, Steven, I'll get back to you in about 15 minutes.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you very much for doing the DVDs this week. Sounds like there's a lot of good stuff out there. Just you guys remember, My Bodyguard, that's what I want for Christmas.
I wonder if they're going to release more, like, classic 80s teen films. Because they really haven't done too many.
Remastered My Science Project. Awesome! Gotta have that. Well, thanks for doing the DVDs, Bill. Alright, everybody, that was episode 63 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for listening to our show. I know we talked quite a bit about Heroes and Smallville and BSG. I'm sorry we took so much time out of the show talking about things we love like that, but yeah, come on, they're great shows, right?
We wouldn't talk about them if we didn't love them.
That's why people listen to us.
We love the hell out of those shows.
Love.
Yes, it's sweet, sweet love. Much love to everyone. If you'd like to call and leave us a voicemail, call 1-206-202-3491 or send an MP3 comment to nimpodcast@gmail.com or you could also send us a text email about stuff. And in fact, I have an email again, guys, this week of a new listener. This email is from Sean Yamashiro, and I believe I said that right. He says, "What's up, guys? Just wanted to tell you guys that I just started listening to the podcast, and it is awesome. How great does it feel to hear something like that? I heard about you guys from the segment in the Ninth Wonder podcast." Oh, that's the Heroes podcast that Bill and I did a segment on. He said, "I downloaded it at work and almost busted out laughing several times. That was one of the funniest segments ever. Keep up the good work. Thanks for helping me through the long days at work, Sean." Well, you know what? You're welcome. And we'll do it again as much as we can. And I hope you like all of our episodes of the show. And just so you know, we talk extensively about Heroes every week on Nowhere in Mulberry.
Yeah, and if you're a new listener, why not go back into our archives and check out some of our earlier episodes that involve heroes or even
the vault. Anything
earlier than that, yeah.
We keep it in the vault, sir.
You know, that vault is busting with funny. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what else, Sean?
I'm your bro, not your foe.
That's right. I'm your bro and not your foe. So you just remember that as you listen to every new episode of Nowhere on Mulberry, guys. Well, that's it, guys. Why don't we wrap it up with some badass music? What do you say?
Yes.
Laters.
Casting.